I'm Heidi.
And I'm Leilani. Welcome to Motherhood Narrated.
Do you remember your first best friend? You would talk about everything on your heart, from crushes to heartbreaks. You would cry together and laugh together. Nothing was off limits.
Well, now we're moms. We have less time, less energy, but an even greater need for friendship. We are navigating new challenges and joys that come with motherhood.
We hope to bring back that safe space where you feel encouraged to share your vulnerable moments and you feel a little less alone as we share our stories with you.
We're not here to give advice.
And we definitely don't have it all together.
But we do have a story to tell.
And this is Motherhood Narrated.
So many people say motherhood isn't for the faint of heart, and in so many ways, they couldn't be more correct. But what if I told you motherhood is for the weak? Motherhood pushes us to the end and past.
In the words of Jimmy Gaffigan, what is it like to have four kids? Well, imagine you're drowning and someone hands you a baby.
But while raising little souls is not for the faint of heart, motherhood, real Christ-honoring motherhood, is for the weak. In fact, our weakness sets the stage for God to be seen in all his glory. We need to allow Christ to be strong in places we are weak. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul understood his shortcomings and took them to God. And I almost didn't want to bring this verse in because when you think about the Apostle Paul, his trials were honestly so much greater than just the normal day-to-day motherhood struggles, I feel like. But you made a good point, Heidi, of just like the recognition of we are struggling still.
Right. So his were more life and death situations. But I think that that's kind of like our first go-to as moms is you either are the person who is always struggling more than everyone else, mm-hmm. or the majority of us, you say, well, I know it could be worse, so I shouldn't complain. But the point is, if we don't address our weaknesses and we don't acknowledge them, then we're not really dealing with them. We're not really giving them to God. We're not really doing anything with them. We're just kind of shoving them aside. So if someone told you, hey, pick up all these weights and carry them, and they're really, really heavy and it's hurting your back, to have someone else walk by and say, hey, I can carry way more than that. That's not that much. That doesn't make it less heavy for you or less hard. It really doesn't do anything other than compare your heart with someone else's. And I think
You feel more defeated.
Yeah.
That your weight or
maybe
your trials are so much less.
But the point is, don't compare your heart, because there are some times where you say, okay, today I just feel sad. Like I just, I don't know what it is. And maybe you don't really have anything to be sad about. You can sometimes talk yourself out of it, but for the most part, it's better to deal with it the right way rather than just push it aside and say, well, that doesn't matter. It could be worse.
That's so true. And I feel like I've compared myself even with with you, for instance, like I'm struggling with three kids here and can't take a shower and it's been 4 or 5 days and whatever it might be. And I'm like, I don't know how Heidi does it because she has double the amount of children as me and is able to do everything. But
so I can go double the amount of days without a shower is what, just kidding.
And you do. No, just kidding.
Gross.
But
don't tell everybody.
I mean, sometimes I just have those days where I don't even know. Like last night, for instance, I don't know if it's pregnancy hormones. I think it is. My husband thinks we're having a girl. We're not actually finding out what we're having for the first time, which is really exciting. But I've just been emotional, extra emotional. And last night was one of those nights, and I don't know why I was crying. And my husband was like, well, you just, like, it's okay if you don't know why you're crying, just like,
just stop.
Just stop. Just feel it, I guess. Like, he didn't know how to help. But it's like, feel so stupid. I was like feeling so emotional and I had nothing to feel emotional about. He was like, why are you so emotional? And I didn't have an answer. I just was.
Probably just need to be okay.
Yeah. It's like, do you need chocolate? No.
Oh my gosh. That's a great, I wish my husband would say that when I'm feeling emotional.
Anyways.
I think when I say stuff like that and we're already in bed, that's when he like turns over and fake snores. Like, I didn't hear her. Just ignore it.
He was sweet. He's trying to talk to me, which when you're already feeling emotional, I just don't want to talk because then it makes me feel more emotional.
And then when you say out loud the things that could be triggering that, it sounds so stupid.
Or the next day you think back on the night and you're like, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing.
I know. We all have those days.
Okay, I'll just blame it on the baby.
You were starting a really good thought with Paul. That was about 8 minutes ago. So
yeah. So continue the I was thought. Saying that the Apostle Paul understood his shortcomings and took them to God. And God said to him, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And then Paul said, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. I just think that's so cool to recognize your weakness and see it as a strength and actually be joyful in your weakness. But rather than making things easy, God tells Paul his strength is going to shine through the cracks of Paul's brokenness. Paul's weakness is only going to show others what Christ can do through our willing and surrendered life. It's the same for us. And I think this is a huge thing. Instead of being prideful in our weaknesses and thinking that we just have to get through it ourselves or we've got it all together, you can choose to be humble in your weakness and allow God to use that as a strength and actually be something so beautiful. And a huge way for this in motherhood is for our kids to see that, like for our kids to see our weaknesses and our struggles. And obviously it's age relatable. Like you're not going to share something crazy to your kids about what you're going through if it's not age appropriate, but like just simple day to day moments in your day that you're struggling with. And for your kids to see that you're acknowledging that and going to God for that and seeking, his strength and his power through that moment. There's something so beautiful about that. And I want my kids to replicate that and to do exactly the same in every part of their day-to-day life for the rest of their lives.
I love it. There's a teachable moment in almost everything that we do if we're willing to see it. And I can think of so many times, I always joke, here's the comparison. I think it's hard now, Leilani. Wait till all your kids are homeschooling and not in like I have it harder way, but in a I feel like I suck even more often because of that.
You see your weakness more every day. Yes,
you really do. But the cool thing is I can think of very specific times, maybe at least once a week even, where I do tell my kids, your kids know when you're cranky and you're short-tempered and you're raising your voice when you really shouldn't, things that probably don't really matter, like, pick up your cereal bowl. Like, that's not something you raise your voice over. So when you're like that, I love the moments after.
Yeah.
When you can say, hey, and I'm usually still fuming inside when I have this. Like, my heart is pounding. And I sit them down and I just say, I'm not in a good mood right now. Like, clearly you guys can tell. And I know that you can tell. Could you guys pray for me? Or do you ever, like, maybe you guys could talk. Do you ever feel like this where you're just in a really bad mood and you kind of don't know how to stop and recollect your thoughts and address it right where you're at? Mm-hmm. What do you do? And the goal, like you said earlier, is to point them to Christ, but give them an opportunity to kind of say their own things first and then use that as a teachable moment. Like, how do we let God be the one to fix that or to mm-hmm. fill our needs in that moment?
I like that too, because honestly, we're pointing them to the only person who can truly actually meet our needs and their needs forever. Like, that's the only way to find true strength and grace for those moments. And I just love that.
And if we're struggling with that as adults right now, mm-hmm. how much better if we could learn this when we're younger? We have an opportunity to teach this to our children right now. Such an important tool to have later on. And I think if we acknowledge their small frustrations and hurts and trials,
Yeah.
It also helps them to be aware of acknowledging other people's. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to have the kids that you're just so tough on them that they go through life looking at their friends going, don't be a baby, get over it. It's harder for that person. Like, mm-hmm. we want to teach them how to have grace for others, and you don't teach them by telling them, you teach them by showing them and giving them that grace first.
Mm-hmm. And also validating what they're feeling as well in those moments, I feel right. like too. Even like the reward in that too, I could definitely improve on this more, but, I try and grasp those moments during the day, and then to be able to see when my kids are the ones to then ask me to pray for them because they're feeling grumpy or because they're feeling afraid going to sleep or whatever it might be, it feels like success. Like you could be so much better off in your life than I am if you learn this now. Like
yes.
when you are weak and when you are not strong and can't handle this moment, like go to the person who can give you that in that very moment, you know?
And I feel like a lot of us were only taught that when you are weak, pretend like you're not.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And it's through our humility that our kids will learn to depend on him through their weaknesses too for the rest of their lives.
So good. So new moms have a lot of opportunities to feel overwhelmed and to get to that point where they feel like they just can't do it anymore. Or maybe they're not strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know the thoughts like, what did I sign up for?
Yeah.
How did I get myself into this? And you truly do. It's a different kind of drowning. Like you feel like, oh my goodness, I'm now responsible for an entire other person's life. Mm-hmm. Not just their happiness, but their whole life is in your hands. And that feels daunting and overwhelming at some point. But I think the beauty in that is to see that when you don't know everything, you have so much to learn. And I feel like new moms do such a good job of seeking out friendships and mm-hmm. getting prayer for what they're going through and figuring out how to deal with their hardships rather than just kind of blanket over it. So when you have multiple kids, you don't typically seek out answers to those questions. How do I get through this? Because you feel like you should have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the same hand, we kind of discredit those first-time moms and what they're going through by saying, just wait. Like how we talked about in the beginning, the yeah. comparison. Just wait until you have two. Just wait until you have three.
Yeah.
But we almost say it in a way it's like, just wait. Then you won't be able to complain and it gets harder.
Mm-hmm.
No, deal with it right now when you just have the one. If you are a brand new mom and you have your first child, you're in the thick of it. And I think that's yeah. where you need encouragement.
There's so much learning in that first early stage. And what if you could learn to depend on God and your weakness right then and there with your first, like how
yes.
amazing you will be when you have to, and you'll be so much stronger because you'll be relying on God's strength so much more than moms who have a few, because you're learning it from the start to depend on God and your weakness right then and there in the beginning. Because having one, when you go from none to one, it is hard. Like, and emotions, like you get so many hormones that are raging and you've never experienced cracked nipples or like then like wet bed or what, like from yes. sweats, like night sweats, or finally being able to lay on your stomach, but you can't because your milk is in and it's hurting. Like there's so many new things that you didn't know and you didn't expect.
Not being able to laugh very hard.
Yeah.
You'll pee yeah. or.
There's so many new things that you don't think of because you didn't expect any of these things. But what if you were able to learn at that point to depend on God in your weakness then and there? You'd be able to do it so much easier than with two and three.
And how much better of a friend could you be to,
yeah.
to all your friends who are just having their first children? Just say, don't worry, it sucks, but you'll get through it. Mm-hmm. Show them how. Like, be the person that come alongside and say, hey, I felt that too. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
God really can fill those strengths. When you're at the end of your ropes and you feel like, I just can't do this, just reach out to God. Say a prayer. He answers your prayers. Take a moment. Take a breath. Everything that you think you need to be doing at that moment, you probably in reality don't. You know, I have to get to the library for story time and I have to, no, you don't. You're going to live if you don't go to story time. Like, just acknowledge that nobody told you it would be so hard to get your kid into their car seat without having a diaper explosion, without needing to feed again, yeah, without having to wake them up from a nap. Just that's the hard part. Like, acknowledge it, yeah, and admit it and say, it's okay that it's hard. And I'm just thankful that God gives me grace. And he says, hey, you'll live if you don't go to story time. Just stay home.
There's so many times with our firstborn that we dressed him so cute for church. And by the time we would get to church, he literally every Sunday would have an explosion in the car seat before even going in. And I would get so frustrated. But it's those little things, because it's your first and you're excited to bring them to church and show them to everyone and put cute clothes on them. And it was just so frustrating in the moment.
I guess that's the hindsight part, because you look at it now and it's like, with when you have more kids, it really doesn't get easier, actually. Yeah. You just learn to put less importance on it, because yeah, there are other things to treat as more important. But at the time when you have one, it is important to you. Like, that's, you have one kid and you want them to look good. You had a goal, a single goal, get to church with this cute outfit on, and you feel like you failed because it didn't happen. So that's a big deal. That, and it sucks and it feels defeating.
And just the other week, and this is not to put you down if you're feeling that way at all, but just the other week, Heidi and I are both running late to church because the times change for church and we just barely got there in time. We're actually late, and none of our kids had their hair done. And so I forgot a hairbrush and spray, but Heidi had some. So we were doing all nine of our kids' hairs right before going to church. But it doesn't mean that our struggles were any more than in when you had just one trying to clean up an explosion in the car because you're disappointed that your kid couldn't wear that cute outfit. But yeah, definitely. You still have it hard, even with just one.
It's hard. And I do wish that I would have learned that with my first a little bit better. I think in some ways I did. In some ways you're kind of just forced to rely on God because you have truly nothing else. But if we could use God as instead of our last resort, but like our first go-to, it would just be so much better. We would save ourselves so much headache if we just said, hey, God, like, center my heart, help me through this. What could I be looking at differently? How could I see this differently? Give me your strength, because I have none left. Chances are it's not going to just go away. He's probably going to say, cry in the car for 20 minutes. That's what you need right now. And then I will give you the strength to get out and get through the rest of whatever you need. But take that time with God, because your heart needs to be focused on him before you move on to the next thing and just push it aside and say, nope, I said I was going to be here at this time, or I was going to do this one thing. Put that thing aside and put God first. And it's just so much more worth it.
Something beautiful as well about God's strength is that he gives you enough, just enough for that moment or for that day or for that hour or for that long sleepless night. Like, he gives you what you need in that moment, even though we may not feel it. But I remember even with my second, he had health issues and he was up for most of the night for the first year. And I remember just praying and crying, saying, God, just put him magically to sleep in my arms and he would just sleep through the night. And he didn't. God didn't do that, but instead he gave me the strength to be able to put him to sleep and like gave me enough strength to get through that night. You know, like, I didn't,
that's so good.
I didn't faint or I didn't, didn't, and whatever it might be, but he gave me enough strength for those moments. And that's all I needed. And he showed up every single time that I cried out to him and needed him.
And how much better is it that instead of just dissolving the issue, you are strengthened and you got to become stronger? Because that's what you want in motherhood. You don't want all your issues to just disappear. You want to become stronger, and you want to know that you did it through the help of God because you chose to rely on him rather than just remain in that moment of, I feel weak. I'm just going to, that's just who I am. And I'm going to stay weak unless every obstacle is taken out of my way. Well, that's not reality. If you learn how to deal with that obstacle and you allow God to grow you, that's so much better in the end.
So motherhood is for the weak. You don't have to be perfect and put together, especially around your kids. Let the tears flow and glorify God who gives us enough strength for one more minute, one more hour, one more day, one more long night. Let us be humble mothers, able to recognize our weakness and our complete need for God. You're doing great, Mama, and you are a good mom.